preparatory students. You've all heard of prep schools, all right? Something that prepares you for a situation. Why do we study God's Word? It prepares you to live, number one, in this earth age, and be pretty efficient within that in serving God and man, your brethren. And in that preparation also comes knowing how to deal with parables, what was Christ really teaching, and discernment. And we as Christians must realize that we have a flesh body. And for a flesh body to be in pretty good shape, you've got to have muscle tone. All right? And what does muscle tone, what's the easiest way to really get muscle tone other than food, good balanced food, is exercise. That gives you good muscle tone, and you're able to climb mountains and do whatever you have to do to get by. But also spiritually, if you were to exercise yourself spiritually, you must realize that you also have a spiritual body. You're not in it totally at this time, but you're going to be. And though that spirit body is with you, you have to take the parables and not just take the physical. That's to say, you know, the most common milquetoast meaning that usually is given within a parable as an analogy of what you're supposed to grasp from the spiritual. And quite frankly, if you miss the spiritual, you miss the meat. You're not prepared for anything except how to maybe be healthy and except maybe how to get by. So, with that thought in mind, Christians oftentimes have been told you must submit to all strangers. You must do this. You must give a drink of water to whoever should ask for one. And naturally, that's a nice thing to do. If somebody's thirsty, hey, put the water to them, all right? Give them a drink of water. But don't miss the more in-depth meaning behind it, or you miss totally. A drink of water by itself is not going to cause anyone to go to heaven or hell. In other words, you're not prepared if you study on that level. And unfortunately, many people do. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. We're going to pull from there for a moment. As I stated, within this, in preparing, you find your destiny, your purpose, what it is that our Father would have you do, and at the same time to practice that discernment that enables you to do that. The book of Hebrews, and let's go with verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. That's really great. Do you know what brotherly love is? It's loving your brother. Who is your brother? Your brother is anyone that is in Christ. We have neighbors that fit into this, if you want to be more technical, but I feel like not going into the technical. There is a difference between a brother and a neighbor. All right? A brother is one born of the womb of Israel, and a neighbor is anyone that comes in through Christ by adoption. Same difference. Brotherly love is beautiful, and you should have that. But understand, even that has its boundaries that you must pick up and learn from. All right? What's this next verse? Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Wonderful trait. For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. In other words, I believe that inasmuch as it is written in the book of Matthew that your angel, that means your personal angel, has the attention of God, that is to say God's face at any time. That it's real. And I know that probably many of you at one time in your life perhaps has felt a nearness, something strange, something spiritual. And not that we're going to spiritualize everything away, and certainly you're not to worship angels, but you've had warnings from some source that turned you around and has saved you a great deal of pain or something at one of the other times in your life. Perhaps it was the Holy Spirit talking to you. Perhaps it was an angel. But now, it's wonderful to be sweet. But what do you know about angels? There's more than one kind. And if you understand our Father's Word, you know the difference. There's one called Nephilim, which is to say fallen angels. And they're returning. You want to entertain one of those unaware? In other words, we have to discern a little bit when we start talking about brotherly love, neighborly love, entertaining strangers. We have to know who and what and why. And where do you gain that? By preparing yourself from the Word of God. And trust me, never will you be unkind to any individual if you do it God's way. All I'm saying is, if you're not careful, if you go too far with that is most commonly taught on the first level, give everybody a drink, and so forth. And naturally, you want to be neighborly. But if you miss the more deeper things, then you let people die of thirst. I don't care if you hook them up and pump 10 gallons of water down them. That's not what it's talking about. They're going to die of thirst for the living water. And that living water is Christ. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. I believe we're going to start with about verse 31. That great book of Matthew, one of the teachings of Christ there. This is why we must become students in prep school for the supreme graduation, which is to say into your destiny and your purpose, what it is that God would have you do, and do it in a mature way whereby you know what you're doing and you feel comfortable with it. Man, as you've heard me say many times, basically only fears the unknown. And to not know what you're supposed to do is fearful. You love God. You appreciate Him. You appreciate the blessings He gives you. But also, if you really love Him, you want to serve Him. You want to do something for Him. And that in itself is the secret to receiving God's blessings, is by being a servant of His. And I'm not just talking about ministers. I'm talking about laypersons. Listen, laypersons have greater opportunities to plant seeds than do ministers. Because you go out into the world and you're accepted in the world where sometimes ministers are not. And someone that is troubled, you have an opportunity to give a sip of the living water. And it saves a soul. By bringing that soul into a close walk with He that is the living water, that is to say, Christ. What's the kingdom going to be like? Verse 31, Matthew 25. When the Son of Man, that is to say, Jesus Christ, shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, and these are not fallen angels, but holy angels, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And it's going to be a glorious time. This, and not until then, will He sit upon His throne upon this earth. All right? What does He do? 32. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Now, what's the difference then between a sheep and a goat? Well, we're going to find out. We're not talking about going out here and getting a big herd of sheep and a big herd of goats, and you should always keep your sheep and your goats separated. Now, that's silly, because that's not what He's talking about. All right, He's giving an analogy that you, in preparing your mind, are supposed to gather from that. And before we finish the analogy, we will clearly define what He's speaking of. Verse 34. 33 rather. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Now, who sits at the right hand of God? Christ does. So that that is at the right hand, usually in the analogy or example, is good, and the other is bad. So that should give you a clue that we're talking about people here that are overcomers and people that are not. Now, regardless of what you might think, the reason you be Christian is that you want to be an overcomer, or you wouldn't be here, or you wouldn't be in some other church. But you want, in your heart and in your mind, you want to overcome and you want to be pleasing to God. You want to be pleasing to your fellow man. But even that, inasmuch as we have sheep and goats, must be done with wisdom. And you must do it, whether you like to or not, you must do it His way. Why? Because it's the only way. It's the only way you're going to have results. All right? Verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, that's the sheep, come ye blessed of my Father. What does that mean? God blesses those on the right hand. That means they receive the rewards even today. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Do you know that God already has that ready? It is. It actually exists. Not de facto. But the kingdom is set. The reward is there. Quite frankly, it's a very simple thing. All it takes is His presence as king. And that dissipates. If His throne were to be on the world, on the earth today, and He in authority as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you wouldn't have all the problems we've got in the world, because He would dissipate them. They would not exist. And we would have peace. That kingdom. What does the word kingdom mean? It's so easy to read over things, and I want to really stay basic today. I really do. What does the word kingdom mean? It means a king and his dominion. Now, are you a part of it or are you not? It's that simple. To be a part, you've got to be on the right hand. That means being fairly righteous. You try. I know we all fall short, but you try. We all mess up, but we repent. That puts you, your righteousness, or let's even simplify it past that, doing that that is right in God's eyes. Not your eyes or not man's eyes, but God's eyes. Puts you in that position. Do you know what it is when you inherit something? Hey, it's yours. That kingdom, though it has a king over it, is yours. You inherit that part of it if you're on the right side. Right? It's that simple. It was set up that way. There's nothing new. He's not trying to pull tricks on someone or pull some wool over anyone's eyes. It has been that way since day one. Verse 35. For I was an hungered. And he's speaking to the ones on the right. He said, when I was hungry and you gave me meat, I was thirsty and you gave me drink, I was a stranger and you took me in. Now let's analyze those. I was hungry and you gave me meat. Do you understand that there are many people that are hungry in this world today, and yet they have a very expensive stomach, kind of like mine? You know, it costs a lot to keep one like this going, all right? That's supposed to be funny, but you can laugh at me if you want to. I don't care. But whatever, you know, they don't look too suffering like for food, if you ask me, is what I'm saying, all right? That's my point. Now, so what is it you're supposed to feed them? What meat? Bless your hearts, if somebody is lost in this world, well, they've heard the salvation message. But they know and feel in their heart there's more to God's Word, and they're starving for truth. And there you sit. And you come up to them. And you say, do you realize that your Father loves you enough that he has foretold you all things and warned you of the coming of this false Messiah, that God does not want you deceived? And they pick up and they take interest. Do you know what happened in the garden? Do you know where your loved ones that have passed on are? And you feed them. And they grow. And they grasp that. Now you're talking about something that saves lives. You're talking about preparing yourself to be a comfort to a starving people in this world today that are searching for truth. It is important, and that's why you're in prep school. You're preparing yourself for the test. And that test is going to face you almost daily. I'm not telling you to go out and become some religious fanatic that's handing out Jesus loves you cards on every corner and this sort of thing, but that you're feeding meat, not milk. There's plenty of milk around and it's spread all over the face of the earth. Meat to the people that are hungry. Is that not what the word said? M-E-A-T. Meat. Didn't say milk. I was hungry and you gave me meat. And what's missing today? I don't have to answer that for you. You know. And I was thirsty. Thirsty for what? When he was on the cross, he said, I thirst. And to fulfill a prophecy from the book of Psalms as others, they put poor man's wine to his lips to fulfill that scripture. The same water that he told the woman at the well. If you partake of my water, you shall never thirst again. It is the living water. It is the Spirit that indwells within the human being and gives spiritual tone as well as muscle tone to that individual and changes their life. It makes them different. And you have the power and the ability to at least plant the seed. It's up to God whether it grows or not. But you give them that cup of water. I was a stranger, and you took me in. How many people do you know today that are strangers to God's Word? Boy, it's sad. It's really sad when you hear national programs that say, what are the people hungry for? What's drawing the younger generation to the churches? What are they searching for? And what is it they're being fed that draws them there? They're trying to figure it out. And it just really gets me right up here why that they can't understand they're seeking the Word of God. Not party time. Not social clubs. Truth. Something that has some meat and foundation, and they are strangers to the truth. So you take that stranger in and let them know who they are. Tell them about the migrations of the various people. How that God created all the peoples and He's proud of every last one of them. They're His children. They have a home. They have an inheritance. They are somebody. They're children of God. That makes them important. Take the stranger in. Now, we could take this on the first level. We could listen to some teachers and all of us could get a canteen and a bag of biscuits and go out here on the street. Are you thirsty today? You want a little shot of water? And here, how about a biscuit? You know, well, that's the way some people do it. Yes, you've got to feed the world. That's not funny to go hungry. I've been there a few times, all right? I didn't always have this very expensive midsection, all right? I have been hungry. I know what it's like. I tasted it in Korea, and I've tasted it in America when I was young and didn't know how to manage money, you know. And I'll never forget, I went 5 days without food till my paycheck. I was too proud to beg. And I guess I would be to this day also. 5 days without food is rough. You know what I mean? I'm not even going to ask how many of you know what that's like. You you really understand Scripture where it says you dream about eating a big meal, but when you wake up, you don't feel full. Boy, that's true. Because about all you dream about about the fourth day without food is food. All right? Some of you ladies that diet may know more about this than I do. I don't know. But anyway, be that as it may. oh, my. Well, biscuits and water does not cause someone to go to heaven or to hell. Do you understand? Biscuits and water won't cut it. Physical meat won't cut it. Yeah, it may give you a little muscle tone on the flesh, but we're getting rid of these bodies. And we're going to have a spiritual body. So we must mature and prepare ourselves to realize what you know is so valuable to people. Yeah. There's going to be come along a time and you're going to say to someone, let me share, they have a question and you say, let me share this with you. And they're going to say, you got to be nuts. You absolutely have got to be out of your gourd. And poor baby, that's so offensive when somebody disagrees with me and I know everything. Okay? How many do you think disagreed with Christ when he walked the earth? Many did. But bless your hearts, this is the difference. If you don't plant the seed, now I'm saying if they ask for it, all right? Understand what I'm saying. If they ask for it, if you don't plant the seed, if they go to hell, their blood's on your hands. All right? Part of it, anyway. Because you could have made a difference, perhaps. It may not. They may still tell you you're off your gourd. Your elevator doesn't quite go all the way to the top. Does that hurt you? After all, you know what you know. And you know if you know God's Word, you're right. You're in the right field. Certainly if you take in the Word that you can read in the world today, I'm going to get a gun, I'm going to spill blood, and I'm going to shoot my neighbor, and I'm going to do this, rap, rap, yop, yop, and roo, roo. Really intelligent stuff, you know. I mean, the world is off its gourd. You're not. All right? Now, I'm not a rap singer or a professional. Probably you noticed that. Okay? But be that as it may. Biscuits and water, a canteen. Don't equip yourself to teach God's Word by getting a canteen and a bag of biscuits. It won't cut it, friend. All right? It's what you have here. Okay? Now, let's continue on. Verse 36, naked and you clothed me. I was sick. And you visited me. I was in prison. And you came unto me. How many people in this world today that are living in the world, the world situation, they're prisoners. I'm not talking about the jailhouse. I'm talking about if all they see is this world and what's in it and they never hear God's Word, they are prisoners of Satan, the prince of this world, the prince of the air. They're bound. And you can take your big shears, clippers, or some of you may even be so fast it's like a lawnmower. Zip! You know, cut those ropes off of them and let them go. Free them from that prison and turn them loose in the Word of God. Did you visit them? If someone asks you, and this is most, why do I keep saying that? Because most often when God touches someone, they ask, you don't push, all right? And I'm sure many of you have experienced that. You know that you can't force. I'll do it in old Texas and Oklahoma, Arkansas, saying you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Okay? Well, that's just common sense. And that's exactly the way it is. So, when they ask, trust the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you a leading and unction, and you'll know what to say at that time. 37. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? 38. When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Verse 39, or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? 40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, my children, ye have done it unto me. Why? We're one body. We're one family. And when you do it for one of them, especially if it be one of God's election or a king or a queen, then it's to him. Because, again, we are that many-membered family. He is in us. How do you clothe them? Now, think about that a moment before you answer in your own mind, and I don't expect you to answer out loud. What clothing is he talking about? Would Ephesians chapter 6 help you? You are to clothe them with the gospel armor. There was a man, bless his heart, that lived out that front door and had built this, what is now our print shop. It was a retirement home for elderly people that couldn't take care of themselves. And he gathered boxcar loads of clothing and shipped them to Africa to clothe the naked savages. All right? Because the Bible said, clothe them. And that was beautiful. That was wonderful. I'm not taking away from that. But in this generation, he wants you to clothe them with the gospel armor. You see, whatever kind of breeches you got on doesn't say whether you go to heaven or hell, all right, or whether you're naked or clothed. Doesn't have anything at all to do, basically, I'm going to say, with whether you're going to overcome or fail. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's what's in your heart and your mind, and what is, whether or not, if you don't have the shield of faith in Christ before you, you're a goner, all right? Because you can't protect yourself from this world or Satan. You're naked before him. And his fiery darts are going to pin you and bind you. Now, don't for one minute. I love this man with all my heart. We helped him print literature, and I think it was wonderful that he sent clothing, but I don't want you to miss the thing that determines whether someone... I know he went to heaven, but I don't know whether those he sent breeches to went to heaven or hell, because it didn't have that much to do with it. But I know anyone with gospel armor, they are heaven bound. They are going to be inheritors to the kingdom, and it is your destiny and your purpose as a servant of God to do these things in the meat, in the living water, in the gospel armor, to give people hope in a hurting world. He said, when you did it to one of them, you did it to me, because Christ is in his children. 41, then shall he say also unto them that are on the left hand, this is where we find out what happens to the goats. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, how many of you think a drink of water and a biscuit decides whether you go to heaven or hell? And what I'm doing, I'm nailing down and documenting that Christ is not talking about biscuits and water. He loves his children. He's not going to send one of them to hell because they didn't give somebody a drink of O2. Or not O2. Woo, that'd cool them down. That's a fire extinguisher for people that don't... Oh, well, I'm not a chemist, so I better stay out of that field, all right? But water, HO2, I mean literal water, okay? That's not going to decide whether somebody goes to heaven or hell. It's nice to give somebody a drink. I know you've all been thirsty at one time and... boy, like you were dying and your flesh might have been. And that's nice. It's just that it's not the water that has to do with whether you're going to be with him or going to hell. All right. So, prep school. A school that helps you better understand the simplicity in which Christ teaches. Okay, and here we go. We cast the devil and his angels into the fire, 42. That's why you must be careful what angels you entertain unawares also. For I was hungered, 42, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Here comes the painful part. It pains me. For the person that spent years gathering clothing, and he was a pretty fair Bible student. He just didn't. You know, he's just taking it too literal. He's looking at the tone of the muscles of the arm or the flesh thing that Christ talked about. This is the part that gets a little painful. Those people expect reward. And there's times of disappointment going to come. I don't want you to be disappointed. I know they will be. Though you have to admit, their hearts were of gold. Their righteousness, they were as right, and I know the man I'm speaking of, we purchased this property from him. I mean, he did without to furnish those things. The postage alone would run into hundreds of dollars. And I know God has a reward for him, but I feel I have kind of a sad spot right here in my heart. To know that he worked that hard and that long, meaning well. And it wasn't really what Jesus was talking about. So I know that there is a place for forgiveness and understanding and reward. Do you understand where I'm coming from? Never knock or embarrass anyone that takes it on the first level, because maybe that's all they're capable of. And know they mean well. But you be prepared, and you prepare yourself mentally with the wisdom of God that you can give people things that will raise them up and cause them to do God's work, whereby you do take in the starving. Look at yourself. Where were you until you really got into the Word of God? Man had nothing to do with it. The Word of God changes souls, hearts, minds. And makes you a different person, loving him enough that you want him to use you, your destiny, your purpose, even into the eternity. And he has touched you. You have the power and the authority to do that same to others that are starving. I mean, starving to death for hope. And a way and peace of mind. Okay? 44. Then shall they also answer him, saying, these that did not, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Question. We never saw you before, Lord, until today. 45. Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as we did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. If you don't take care of my own, you're not my servant. That Holy Spirit, the Christ that is in us. 46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. No, biscuits and water don't cut it. You're not prepared with a bag of biscuits and a canteen of water. It's what's in your heart and your mind that you're able to share, because you were prepared with that word of hope, and he is our hope. We are looking at a line here today of, well, how do I know who I should help and who I should not help? Well, do you know the answer to that? It's God's word. He makes everything very clear. If you are prepared, if you are if you are prepared mentally, physically, both, you know where the line is between the physical and the spiritual. Do you know that God's Word gives you a clear-cut answer to that? You see, I have had people approach me, let's say ministers that were students under the same man I was a student under, and because they were a student of his, have come to me that this is a successful ministry, and say, I am not a stranger, but I come to you in the name of Christ asking for enough money to buy a house trailer so that I can have a place to live. I feel God sent me to you to ask for that. Okay? I mean, this actually happened. All right? And I said to him, I mean, in other words, what is my point in bringing this up? People, well-meaning, many times will get you on a guilt trip if you're not careful, all right? And they will ask for more than a glass of water in the name of Christ. Christians don't do that, all right? They don't. Did you hear what I said? You're not looking at a Christian when they come to you. I told these people, I don't even take a salary from my ministry. Why would I consider giving you something of that nature? If you want a house trailer, go down to the bank and I have an agreement. I don't loan money. The church doesn't loan money. And wait a minute. The church doesn't loan money and the banker's not going to do no preaching. All right. We got a real good agreement going here between the two. I'm getting in deep here, aren't I? Well, be that as it may. But my point is this. Many people will say, as a Christian, you just got to open your door to everybody. Just let them come in and let them put them up for a week and feed them. Give them to drink. That's not what he was talking about. And you're not to let people take advantage of you. Fellowship, if you love them, is fine. It's wonderful. If you want to do it, do it. But that's not instructions from the Lord. What can I say? I think I can say 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Let's get some guidelines so that we know we're being a decent Christian and we're not turning some poor, miserable soul claiming to be a Christian out into the cold here. Let's go to, you see, he did give us guidelines that you're supposed to use. I don't believe my Bible has the 2 Thessalonians in it. I've got 1st. There it is. Sure enough, it's right after 1st. Chapter 3, all right? Where do I want to start at here? I want to start. Why not start at verse 1 when you forget? That's the best way. Chapter 3, verse 1. Finally! And what has he just told you in chapter 2? If there's one soul in here that doesn't know, unless you're just a visitor, it's about the Antichrist coming, right? So that we're situated here. Chapter 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word, what? That the word of the Lord may have free course, that it can go out, in other words, and be glorified, even as it is with you, that God's truth, the meat, the water, can pour forth, too, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. Now here we have a qualification. In all this brotherly love, all of a sudden Paul is telling us, hey, there's some wicked men in this world. Verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you. Do you believe that, friend? Are you established? Do you know what's happening in your life? The Lord who shall establish you and keep you from evil. God wants to keep you from evil people. God does not want you to be taken advantage of by wicked, unruly, evil people. And listen, don't you ever cut it too short that anybody that's trying to mess you out of something is evil. Now, there's no sin in being down on your luck and needing help. But I'm talking about Christian con artist. Can I get away with that? That's pretty powerful, isn't it? I don't know if any of you have ever met a Christian con artist or not. I think, I know all you that teach have, but hey. Hey, okay, well, I think I'm going to live. I'm going to be comfortable with that. Four. And we have confidence, do you? Think about this. In the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you, that God's Word commands you. He says, boy, I know you will. Five. And the Lord direct your hearts. That means your mind. Does the Lord direct your mind? Think about that. If you study His Word, He does. Into the love of God and into the patience. Boy, this is the hardest thing. Maturity teaches patience. Patient waiting for Christ. Remember the chapter before this was about the Antichrist. Many didn't wait. Verse 6, here you go, friend. This is why we came here. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly. This means every Christian brother that walketh lazily or disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. We told him, you're a can-do type person. You get out there and you get it done. Like I told the old boy about the house trailer, I said, the quicker you find a job and go to work, the quicker you're going to have a house trailer. All right? Work brings luck. All right? Lots of luck. Right? The harder you work, the luckier you get. There are no free lunches in this world. All right? You got that? Don't ever let anyone deceive you into thinking there is. The only thing that is free is salvation itself, and it cost Jesus Christ an awesome price. His blood. Well, just a minute, brother. I mean, I'd be a Christian of the old church, and we're supposed to love everyone. How could I withdraw from a disorderly person? Well, heck, join them then. You know? Go ahead. Be stupid. In other words, Christians are supposed to be intelligent. And how can you, if you keep company and be played the fool, be an example to me who needs help? Do you understand where I'm coming from? People look at you as an example. Though we don't expect perfection from anyone, you can't play the fool and be respected in your community. You're supposed to protect your credibility. And a wise Christian man or woman or child do not play the fool and do not let people take advantage of them. Maybe once, but never twice. Okay? There's going to be times you're going to say, oh, well, it doesn't matter to me, and out of the goodness of my heart, I'm going to do it this time. And you know better, probably, and you do, and then pretty soon, bam, here this same spiritual con artist is right back here, okay? And I don't like that. I'm not comfortable with it, but it's truth, beloved. It's true. Some people make a career. I'm talking about would-be preachers, all right, mostly. And sometime even lay persons. I don't know. But what did he say in love? Withdraw yourself from them. You don't have to give them a biscuit. He didn't say give them a drink of water. He said get away from them. Verse 7. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. You need to imitate what we do. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. We weren't loafing around you. This kind of has to do with work, all right? Next verse nails it. 8. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought. We worked with labor and travail night and day that we might not be chargeable to any of you. We didn't want to be an expense to you. We protected our credibility. Now, this is kind of the way I patterned my life, is the fact that I didn't, as a teacher, did not want to have to depend on man. So I rather said, God, you will give me a business mind and my hands to do work for myself so that I can provide for my own family where I don't have to take nothing off nobody, all right, for a salary. And that was just my way of doing it, and every preacher is worthy of his hire. and should be paid. But I'm glad I'm not. All right. And I'm glad God said, hey, yeah, everything you touch, boy, will turn to gold. And you know what? It has. He didn't say that to me. All right. It has just happened that way. All right. I can take a bag of biscuits and they'll keep for a week, you know, because I only like fresh biscuits. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I've embarrassed myself by turning this to myself, but I want you to know that I don't think there's anything wrong with honest, hard work. And I don't think there's anything wrong with trusting God. He'll do it for you if you're honest with Him. If you don't try to con Him, He's not going to con you anyway. All right? But He produces, and I kind of patterned after Paul a little bit on this too. You know, I like this. He said, hey, don't try to hang that stuff on me. You know, I didn't come in here eating your grub and all that stuff and preaching to you and telling you to get out and work and me sit here on my chair. He said, I got out there and worked too. And sure enough, that was his credibility protected. I like it. All right. Think about it. 9. Not because we have not power, we had the right to, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Does that sound like giving him a biscuit? Sound like giving him a drink of water? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about that higher water and that higher meat. And I guarantee you, when someone receives that, they'll tear themselves up getting to work and being a credit to a community. And if they're physically able, now there's nothing wrong. God expects the rest of us to take care of the handicapped. But I've noticed something about the handicapped. Sometimes when something needs to be done, you better not get in their way. Okay? Enough said. But anyway, what I'm saying is I'm not talking about people retired on Social Security. You earned it. It's yours. Legal and so forth. But what I want you to know is some lazy bum con artist that wants to eat off your table. Hey, saw that sucker's end of the table off quick. Okay? And as you've heard me say probably many times, there's a micro switch between the navel and the backbone. And the closer that the navel gets to the backbone, it cries, work, work, eat, eat. Work, you can eat. And boy, he becomes a working fool, you know, when he can't eat off your table. Understand, what am I doing to you? I'm saying use discretion. You don't help someone by helping them destroy themselves. I know it's hard. It's called tough love. All right? They've got to mature into men, women, and children of God. And you have to help them do it. And sometimes it's not fun. Sometimes it hurts you more than it does them. But you can't help someone to destroy themselves. And that's what you do. If you let someone eat off of your table with no intentions of ever working or carrying their own weight. All right? Now, why am I doing this? So that you draw that line, that you realize there's a difference between spiritual and physical. And you yourself make your own mind up in your life. Because those are the things that will cause you to inherit the kingdom. Is by being honest, sincere, practicing tough love. Tough love is hard sometimes. I have to practice it on television. There's a young man right in this audience. I'm not going to point at him, but he says, my father isn't exactly happy with you. I think the word was even kind of, like some do, he hates my guts, okay? I'm really a nice guy, and I don't like it when people hate me, but I can't help it. If they can't see through that tough love, they've got to have that opportunity. Do you know what I'm saying? You have to be firm, and God will stabilize you in your actions, whereby people will respect you to the point that you will make a difference in people's lives. That, my friend, is the destiny of those that follow Him. Verse 11, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, or a little lazy, working not at all, but are busybodies. When somebody is on full welfare and never has to work, they got time to go to rallies and riot against this, or tear up Jake here, or tear up Jake there, where working people don't. So that kind of is what it leads to, and that's why you don't help people. Again, there are examples, there are exceptions to this if someone is disabled or down on their luck. No sin or disgrace on being down on your luck, but it's a disgrace to stay there. Okay? Verse 12. Now them that are such what? The ones we were just talking about. He's going to tell you himself what to do about it. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread, not your biscuit, their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. You do what's right, but it's not right to help someone destroy themselves. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man. Do what to him? Note him. And have no company with him. I thought I was supposed to visit the strangers. He's not a stranger. He's a rip-off artist. Okay? He's lazy. He's not very good. You're supposed to have no company with him that he may be ashamed. Ashamed of what? Ashamed of himself. And grow up a little bit. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Why? Why do you do that to your brother? Because you love him. Because you care. Because you want to make a difference. In closing, real quickly, I'm going to turn over to the epistles of John. What happens if we do not, pretty well decide within our mind what it is? These are the little epistles of John right before the book of Revelation. I want you to go to the second one. And I'm going to start reading about verse 6. I want you to know what love is, all right? Verse 6 of the second epistle of John. And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. That's so important, beloved. Feed the poor, the hungry. Give water to the poor, but understand what it means when He says that. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. This is love. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves. Do you know what that means? Be real careful in your own heart and mind, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, that you've worked for, but that we receive a full reward. It's yours, beloved. It's your inheritance. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, that's to say His teachings, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. 10. If there come any, and I repeat, any, you know what that means, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. That's pretty strong. Why should you not bid him Godspeed? Why should not I pray for God to bless him? Verse 11, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. It's pretty serious. It's a pretty serious charge. That you cannot help someone to destroy themselves and be blessed for it. God expects you to play the man or the woman at that point and practice a little tough love. And it's called discipline. And it's called disciplining yourself. I'm going to tell you something. It's easy for an old Marine to appreciate discipline because it's life in many cases in combat. If you don't have discipline, you're dead. I mean, it's a real living test of discipline. But it's the same in your daily life. I was supposed to do this, that, or the other. Well, you can break discipline occasionally. You know, for some reason, it just kind of makes you feel good maybe to say, oh, well, today. But not all too often. Because then you're breaking discipline. So discipline yourself in God's Word. You're in prep school. All this flesh life is prep school for that day. That day that with confidence we can stand. And He's going to say to you, my servant, a job well done. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Father, for Your Word, for Your truth. Father, give us the wisdom to discern and to love our brethren that need the knowledge so badly in this world at this time. Use each of us, Father. We ask it in Yahshua Jesus' precious name. Amen.